Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Ryan McCaffrey.
Hello.
Mitch Dyer.
Hey, hey.
Brandon Tyrell.
Howdy.
Joining us for his first appearance.
First time.
Yeah. So everybody be nice to him.
GameScoop nice. Newbie.
The virgin GameScoop appearance.
Yeah. Had it to is, get it out of the way.
I remember my first time.
You always remember your first time.
Yeah.
It's that time of year. We look ahead to...
Christmas time?
Well, kind of. Video game Christmas.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
E3 time. Time to start down the road to E3, and we're going to be doing this over the next few weeks here on GameScoop, but let's start with Microsoft. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we're not starting, because this one actually goes up after our Sony episode, so, but...
we're starting today, right now!
Today we're talking about Microsoft. Microsoft's press conference will be Monday morning.
As usual.
Yeah, they haven't announced the time, but it's always 9 a.m.
9 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, always 9 first or 9:30.
Monday morning, so... when we're all gathered around our monitors watching the show, when we're in the conference hall and the lights dim, what's the first thing that comes up on screen?
Halo 5.
Yeah?
I
yeah.
agree. Halo 5 Guardians, they come out swinging.
I think it's got to be. I think last year was kind of expected, didn't happen. And this year, I think that's what you lead with.
Yeah, I mean, you lead with a campaign demo, you show
yep.
whatever's going on. I mean, they just revealed the cover art, right? So mm-hmm. now you have to go into, what does this mean? Why does Agent Locke have a team? Why is John have this old team of Spartan 2s? What's going on here? Like, let's explore that a little bit and see where that leads. And then, I don't know, maybe you have a multiplayer demo on the show floor or something to that effect.
Yeah, Phil Spencer tweeted recently that it would be the most first-party-centric yep. E3 Microsoft has ever done, so I completely agree with these guys. I think we are going to kick it off with a campaign demo of Halo 5. I actually think we're going to come back with a demo of multiplayer towards the end of their briefing, where they'll maybe
totally.
Show off
gonna give us a twofer?
Whatever the large scale,
battle.
Yeah, the yeah. large scale multiplayer is. Yeah.
Well, what are the big games that we know Microsoft will be showing there that we know they have coming out this fall? So there is Halo 5.
Yeah, and we Halo 5 sort of surprisingly got its release date of the end of October, which is Halo games never come out in
it's
October
normally
before.
Battlefield's window.
What's the date?
October 27th, 28th, sorry.
28th, I think.
And so that, to me, says that that sort of coveted November slot is going to go to Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Mm. Well,
agree?
Yeah, maybe we should mention
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Rise of the Tomb Raider, that's a Microsoft timed exclusive.
Yes.
True.
Yes.
Coming out this fall and coming out ahead of Uncharted 4.
That's huge,
Uncharted
right?
Uncharted 4 like, got delayed.
Yeah, and if you have a very Uncharted-esque game dominating the fall without an Uncharted in the way, mm-hmm. you get PlayStation fans' attention, people who wanted an Uncharted 4, they start looking at Tomb Raider, which is a sequel to a great game.
Yeah.
It's suddenly a lot more appealing to have an Xbox One.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the splash that Tomb Raider made not too long ago is still kind of fresh in everyone's mm-hmm. minds. And now, really, if you were drawn in by that experience, Microsoft is the only place you can get it day one, right?
So please, let's not have the supernatural stuff anymore.
No,
please get rid of that.
It's always been a part of Tomb Raider, though.
Yeah, and I might be in the minority. I've always kind of liked like the sort of on the fringes of the experience, you have this sort of supernatural vibe.
See, I like that it's weird. I love being on islands with dinosaurs
yeah.
and like being predators.
Way back in the day.
Yeah. Love that stuff, but the last game with like the weird hocus pocus Japanese gods thing,
yeah.
I just could not get behind it. If it's like, I don't know, Uncharted does it really well. Uncharted has done supernatural stuff that I, in the first game, was not on board with, but 2 and 3, I was more like, yeah, okay, like they're doing the Indiana Jones thing where it's a believable world with a sudden phenomenon. Mm.
I do like, though, the last Tomb Raider, the reboot, sort of hinted at and dabbled in proper tombs, like the sort of puzzle-solving element.
Yeah.
I really hope they double down on that and we see a ton more of that stuff, because I really enjoyed it in the last game.
Yeah, a lot of those were more like optional
Yeah, exactly.
Excursions in the first game. I thought they were really fun.
Yeah, I thought they were the best designed levels in the entire game.
Yeah, really actually reminiscent of like Assassin's Creed 2, almost.
Sure.
Like
they had the underground catacombs.
Standalone catacombs.
That was so good.
And like anytime you get into one and you see that huge shot of it, you're like, all right, now it's time to have fun.
Yeah. What about Forza? I know, Ryan, you're a big racing fan. Mm.
I love the series, yeah, and we're clockwork at this point. Mm. It's a motorsport year. We had Forza Horizon 2 last year. They've announced Forza Motorsport 6. They announced it at, fittingly enough, the North American International Auto Show back in January, I think that was. Just saying that they had the partnership with Ford. They were going to have, you know, the new Ford GT supercar in there. And so, yeah, I mean, Forza 6 will definitely have a good chunk of time on stage, I'm sure, and I would guess that it's going to have weather because they added weather finally to Horizon and they share technology. So I think we'll get more tracks, more cars, the sort of the stuff that Forza 5 didn't ship with on Xbox One launch day. That to their credit, they did add a lot to it via paid and free DLC over the course of time. But yeah, I think weather, and then hopefully they'll have some other really cool trick up their sleeves for Forza 6. But history suggests it will be a really good game. Mm.
What about Fable Legends? Is that a sure bet?
What about Fable Legends is the question.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a game that's been troubled, right? Like, for a long time, we thought it was going to be a free-to-play game. And the way they presented it, it seemed like a free-to-play game.
And it is.
And now it's a free-to-play game. Which is fine. Like, I love free-to-play games. My favorite game of all time is a free-to-play game. Or the game I play the most now is a free-to-play game. Yours, too.
And, yeah, I'm in the exact same boat. And the barrier...
Should we specify just for people who
don't know?
Dota 2
for me and Smite for me.
Smite for me. And sort of the barrier for entry to Fable Legends now is zero, right? Like, you can download it, and they're using the same format that they do for these games that we're mentioning, where you have a rotating cast of characters, and I feel like what Microsoft's trying to do with this is really sort of double down on the investment, right? Now you can play this game. It's not a linear story that you're one and done. This Fable has now become something that's on your console. And
yeah.
I just don't I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I played this at E3 last year, and to be fair, I haven't played it or seen it since then. They've been running a closed beta, which I have not been a part of, so my impressions are now a year old, but this game is just not what I'm looking for from Fable. I've thought Fable has such a... There's a charm and a humor and a core to it of character customization and being good or evil or a mix of both. In this game, you're rolling... You have pre-canned, pre-made heroes that seemingly they weren't last year, not customizable. It's a 4v1 game, which... Evolve was a 4v1 game that I loved that didn't seem like it really latched on, you know, as far as sales or the community goes. And this is a free-to-play 4v1 game. There's no character customization. There's seemingly no story to it. It's just basically instances over and over. And, I mean, it's fun. Don't get me wrong. What I played is fine. There's nothing... It doesn't seem to be a bad video game.
It's just not Fable.
It's just not... I think it just forgets everything that makes Fable interesting. That's my problem.
Do you remember like the first trailer for Fable where you were zooming in on the land of Albion and you had the narrator over the background and those like wind chimes and they really did this fairy tale
Gamescom sort of 2013.
Thing. That might have been the one. But that is what I look for in Fable. Like that enchanted, I want to get lost in this fairy, this living fairy tale I can play through. I'm not looking for a stat grind because that's essentially what... I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's MOBA-esque now, right?
Sure, so it is Microsoft trying to get... They're experimenting with that design style. It is all about those kinds of systems and controlling lanes and fighting back against neutrals. And
Fable 1 was excellent, but, you know, very sort of flawed and compromised based on the original vision. Fable 2 really brought most of that potential to the table. Fable 3 was a little bit of a misstep. Even Molyneux admits that now. And so, you know, I really... want a next-gen Fable built on, you know, next-gen technology that sort of takes everything that's been great about Fable and just builds upon it and tries to perfect it. And, you know, full respect to Fable Legends as the game it's trying to be, it's just not the Fable game that I'm looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I respect the series for being experimental. Every game is different. It tries these weird new things and takes risks that sometimes don't work. And this one might not either, but it's also an interesting game.
And I will say, like, some of the elements that they're introducing into it are genuinely interesting. Like the 4v1, the one aspect where you're basically...
Yeah, you play the villain.
The dungeon master of the game. Like, I'm interested in seeing how that unfolds and populating these monsters to have your heroes fight. But you know, again, not exactly what maybe that brand sure. should have morphed into.
And at least the worst case scenario is you lose a bit of time
yeah.
when you try it out for free.
Yeah.
Well, those are the safe bets, the first party titles. What about games that we think are very likely to appear on stage with Microsoft? What about this Gears of War remaster we keep hearing about?
It better have something more than just 1080p and 60 frames to get me excited.
Yeah. We talk about this on Podcast Unlocked. Like yeah. remasters are super common. They don't often bring a lot to the table. And if you're just a remake without anything new, like if you're not introducing anything new to the player, then what's the value of the product?
Okay, it's nostalgia. Yeah. Like they're selling nostalgia.
But that's so predatory and useless. It doesn't benefit
anyone. And it better not be $60 that's all it is.
We were just having this conversation before we shut, right? Like I had that moment with Gears of War on the 360 where I was like, I walked into a room and the god rays were coming down, the sun was beaming and you see particles floating through the air. And I thought, whoa, this is next gen, right? And I'm interested in seeing what Gears of War looks like now on current gen, and that's largely it. Like that's largely all I'm after with that, the nostalgia hit. And I don't really see it being a product that does particularly well, but we'll see.
But as to the likelihood of it being there.
Oh, it seems all but assured at this point.
I'm sure we'll get a Gears teaser, a Gears of War 4 or whatever it's gonna be teaser, and then but in the meantime, while you wait, here's the remaster.
By the way, the interesting thing is if they decide to name it Anniversary, which I guess they didn't. There was that Brazilian, what is it? They're calling it Ultimate Edition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's only the 9th anniversary of Gears of War. Next year is the 10th anniversary.
Maybe they'll hold it for next year and just start talking about it now. I don't know.
Could be.
I don't know. Not that it matters.
What's going on with Quantum Break?
Delayed?
It's Remedy. I mean, they're a team that their track record is filled with nothing but success. Alan Wake, brilliant game, underrated. It had the legs, though. Eventually, it went on to sell well. Just not enough to get its in-development sequel fully green-lit at the time. So Quantum Break, here we go. It's supposed to have live-action TV elements and your choices affect the show. And then, but it goes, it's all contained within the game,
right.
they say. So it goes game to live-action episode, back to game. And it's Remedy. It's, you know, Alan Wake and Max Payne, and those guys know what they're doing, but they are not to be rushed. They've never shipped a game. They're a small team.
Yeah.
By modern standards. So I am very confident that this game is going to be excellent. I need to play it at this point. I want to play it and see how it plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, we saw the Gamescom demo, which is what you're seeing here.
Yeah.
We got a decent look at, you know, what the game actually is in motion. We got to see some of the combat, some of the traversal and all that kind of good stuff. But what we need more of is the relationship between the game and the show. I want to see how they work together. Like concrete examples of, hey, you did this in the game.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens in the show. And you proceed with the game with those consequences.
Right.
I don't need another vague trailer about time travel and stopping time and how cool this main character is. Like, I got it. I'm on board. Tell me what this game is.
I will say, to fully answer your question, Damon, the game that I am hoping to see, that I want to see, it was possibly the thing that excited me most at their press conference last year, and that's Inside.
I gotta switch my B-roll.
Switch your B-roll. I will vamp for a second. So, yeah, last year, we knew the guys from that made Limbo, which is my favorite Xbox Live Arcade game of
Mine
all time. They'd been making something new for a long, long time. In fact, Mitch, you did a story on it years ago.
Yeah, I interviewed them like 2 years ago about the basic concept of
and
making a new game.
Now we're watching it again and seeing this. I haven't actually looked at this in a year, and now I want this video game so bad. So
I actually just said that to Damon. I said I hadn't watched this trailer in so long, and oh, it looks so good.
You can see a lot of Limbo-esque direction in it, sort of artistically, except, oh, look, a little bit of color now. And these guys, I mean, Limbo was genius. Mm-hmm. It remains. I played it again when it re-released last holiday on Xbox One, and I found it it aged brilliantly, and I want to see and know so much more about Inside. I think this is their star title that no one's talking about, including Microsoft. They're not talking about it either.
I mean, yeah, we haven't had it. I don't think we've had a single update since E3.
That is correct. That is correct.
It's a dev that remains very vague about itself.
Yeah. Well, another game that was shown off at their press conference last year was a new Crackdown.
Crackdown, as Mitch and I like to say.
We like to say that.
It's Scottish developers. David Jones.
It is.
Crackdown.
That's another game we haven't gotten any updates on.
No. You had that bombastic trailer, right? Ended with a bang, like literally.
Yep.
And then it kind of went quiet.
The super promising thing is we see the in the trailer, you know, the big climax at the end, the truck smashes into the building comes crumbling down. Mm-hmm. The roller coaster game, Scream Ride, seems like a really good testbed for something like Crackdown, where you have targeted destruction and dynamic, you know, bits and pieces of building falling down. And to implement that kind of technology into something like Crackdown, where, hey, you're taking down skyscrapers with explosive trucks, that seems really awesome. So it gives me confidence to know that the technology seems to be in place. Now I just want to see what this game looks like. This is a CG trailer.
And remember that whole thing was supposedly, that's what their sort of power of the cloud thing, that they've gotten away from that messaging as part of Microsoft's ongoing effort to fix all their messaging. But
Games.
We're back to the sort of the visual style and feel of the original game, because everybody, you know, Crackdown 2 was a misstep, Crackdown 1 was fantastic, but sort of a shell of what Crackdown could be, and here we go, we're watching, this is the good part. But yeah, what is Crackdown? What's it going to be? I suspect it's a holiday 2016 title, if I were a betting man.
I would not put it in this fall.
No way.
It's too busy. There's no room for a game like this.
Yeah, it's very, very crowded.
It gets in the way of Tomb Raider, which is their all-star 2015 open world game.
Yeah, I think you can already pencil in Gears of War 4, whatever they call it, and Crackdown as two of their big fall 2016 titles.
Yeah.
It could even be maybe an early 2016. Haven't the previous Crackdowns been like an earlier?
You never know. I mean, it seems like Quantum Break's going to fit that their early 2016 slot. But
then what about Scalebound? So another game announced last year.
Yeah, so this is interesting, right? Like, I don't really know what to make of it. You see it, you think, like, okay, third-person action RPG, and then, you know, quotes coming out saying, well, what is it? Tell us what this game is. And like, well, it's very Platinum Games, and it's very Microsoft, and so it's very Platinum Games.
If you look at the trailer really closely, you can figure it out.
If you look at a CG trailer, and I'm like, okay, is it Monster Hunter? You can see it right now. Like, it's got giant monsters, and then in a minute they hop
wearing them Beats headphones.
Yep. Yeah. And then in a minute he hops on the back of it and takes off. And so is it Monster Hunter? Is it Panzer?
Like, exactly.
Like, what is this game? And that curiosity has me really excited. Also, I just love giant monsters. So
yep,
yeah.
Yeah, the potential here is incredible. I don't like this trailer. I'm super on board with this, like, very rambunctious and lighthearted main character in this world where dragons are just annihilating each other. Taking off into the skies, there's, you know, dragons everywhere. The idea that this could be some kind of, like, potentially online-only thing is really fascinating, too. What if all those other dragons are other characters, which Platinum is suggesting, that's really interesting.
Yep. And then part of me, the cynic in me, thinks, like, oh, it's on Rails Connect.
No, stop it.
No, you will not see Kinect in E3. I guarantee it.
I 100% agree. I think that clouds the messaging that they're going for now. So
now, traditionally, Call of Duty has been very closely tied to Xbox, and in fact, many, many of their press conferences have started with Call of Duty.
I was about to say, I totally forgot.
Last year.
It back.
But is it like, are things changing?
I mean, maybe, right? Like, Brian Albert, who went to see Call of Duty Black Ops 3 for us, played it on PlayStation 4. Mm. That's weird. You never see that with Call of Duty. It's always Xbox up front. You have Xbox on all the trailers. That stuff's not there right now. So I have to wonder if Microsoft doesn't have Call of Duty.
Well, that marketing deal did have a term, but I don't remember when or if they even publicly said, but it's very possible that deal is up and either Sony swooped in with a bigger offer or what have you. So who knows? I mean, the game's going to come out on all platforms, but you're right. It definitely will affect whose conference it shows up in at E3.
Today we got the official reveal of the next Assassin's Creed Syndicate. If I remember correctly, last year Unity was shown at the Microsoft conference.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's a possibility that we could see with Microsoft this year.
Yeah, AC was a PlayStation exclusive. Not exclusive, but, you know, it was presented there for a long time.
Yeah, I'm every year, I love that they've gotten away from the sort of Ezio trilogy, and every year since the Ezio trilogy, they've done something different.
Yeah.
So I very much appreciate that. And apparently this is single player only.
Single player only. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is bold, because they've been trying to branch out into multiplayer with this game.
Which makes me think that this might be one helping of whatever Assassin's Creed is in, you know, coming up in the future, right? Like, Ubisoft has so many studios now, and they all work on projects simultaneously.
They all work on Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Well, you know, and The Division, what is there, like six studios working on
The
Division?
There's a lot.
Well, yeah. So speaking of The Division,
Deep fired its delazors.
Yeah. God. Nice.
So not much of an opportunity to be on the Microsoft stage, you don't think?
Probably.
Still possible. It probably was last year,
it's,
wasn't it?
It's a, yeah, they have a little arrangement with Microsoft, mm-hmm. and it's still a Q1 2016 game.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it, now you get, you know, whatever the launch trailer was going to be, maybe it's closer to a teaser, I don't know, you know, but it's totally possible to have it up there, even though it's moved to 2016
yeah.
now.
And even though there is a Ubisoft conference, this is an MMO. It's a big game.
Yeah.
They have plenty of stuff to show, so you can see something different at Microsoft than you would at UB. Maybe a different playthrough of the same space, maybe two different locales.
And we still don't know really fundamentally what this game is.
It's a shooter, and it's an RPG.
They say it's a shooter.
MMO. Start throwing letters onto the end of
some genres.
Thing. Yeah.
So I'm very curious. It blew us away a couple years ago, and we saw it behind closed doors last year. So eager to find out what it is for real.
What about Rock Band?
I think it makes a ton of sense for Rock Band to show up on Microsoft stage of the two, if it's going to show up anywhere. Because who knows? I mean, they are more or less an indie title this time around, publishing themselves. But
with Mad Catz, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guys making the instruments for them. But it makes a ton of sense where a lot of gamers have jumped from 360, which was fairly dominant, particularly in North America last generation, to PS4 this generation. And Harmonix did announce that all your DLC from last gen will transfer over to this gen, but only in the same console family.
Right.
So if you're one of those people that went from 360 to PS4, all your DLC for Rock Band will not come with you to PS4.
Yeah.
Therefore, you would think that it's in Microsoft's best interest to give a little push to Rock Band, give them some visibility, some time on stage, if you will, literally and figuratively, and say, hey, come on over, pick yourself up an Xbox, and you've got your hundreds of dollars of DLC just waiting for you, ready to go.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
That's 100% confirmed? Like, all your DLC from 360 DLC transfers to X1? Mm-hmm. That is a huge boon for Microsoft, because Rock Band is huge. And
and it was huge on Xbox 360.
And absolutely. That's where I played it, yeah. And and people have been clamoring, I guess. It took a while for the plastic instrument craze to kind of die down, and the dust is settling now. And I think people are ready to jump back in. This could be a big win for them.
Now, Microsoft owns Minecraft now.
Yep.
And Telltale has this Minecraft story mode game coming. So that could be a
possibility. That's right, I forgot about that.
Yeah. I'd be surprised if we got anything more than a teaser.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything thus far, I don't think.
Yeah, Telltale's been announcing a lot of stuff lately. You know, the Super Show thing, and the Minecraft, and the Marvel Comics game. Like, they're working on so many things. Where do they find the time? So I'd be surprised if we saw much from Minecraft. But yeah, I think this is Microsoft's thing now. They own Minecraft. It would look really good to have a new Minecraft game on stage in some capacity.
Yeah, totally agree.
But now, as far as things that we don't think will be there, you think Kinect is it finally a no-show?
No,
they're
that
done
thing.
Trying to push Kinect.
Out-Z. Kinect is in a coffin.
I mean, sort of like the last heartbeat
coffin
of the Kinect.
Coffin with a K?
Huh? Nice. I think better with Kinect, just a coffin. I think sort of the last heartbeat of Kinect was Rare, right? And their sports series and all that.
Yeah.
And now they're moving on to other things. And
theoretically, we don't know for sure.
Yeah. God, I hope they're making a Battletoads game.
So I don't imagine it's going to be there. Also, the messaging of it's got to stay on par with what the successful messaging of this cycle has been so far, which is games, 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 hardcore games for the core audience, right? And the all-in-one entertainment system didn't work, and the Kinect-based family device didn't work, so now they're doubling down on games. And it seems like it's working, right? I mean, the message has started to become more and more clear with things that they've done. So a lot of Kinect support, I don't see it happening on stage. Maybe in the after show, right?
I don't see Phantom Dust happening on stage. That was one of the weirder surprises last year. Like, wait, you're bringing Phantom Dust back?
Yeah.
And then they say it's not canceled. The developer's no longer working on it, and that developer shut down. Phil Spencer insisted to me on Twitter that it's not canceled. I would bet that game never comes out.
Sorry.
Let alone that it's on stage at E3 this year.
Sorry to the five Phantom Dust fans.
Sorry, Vince.
Finally, what about Titanfall 2?
Too early.
Yeah, too way too early. Early. Yeah. Way too early.
You're out? Anything,
I think it even clouds the messaging of potentially Call of Duty, definitely Halo.
Yep.
I mean, it's just
how many marquee shooters do you need this year, you know?
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Interesting thing we didn't bring up real quick.
What's that?
Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
Well, because we know that it's going to be Sony branded.
Yeah, that's the thing. They've got their...
Like, that's a huge loss for Microsoft.
So it's not a Sony exclusive.
Sure.
But now you can do an advertising exclusive, basically.
Like, so, like Destiny was.
Yeah. Which means you might get DLC a little bit earlier on PlayStation, which is a little, little bit important for that game.
Yep.
Which totally works in the mind of consumers. Yes. Like, I'll talk to people, and they're like, Destiny's on Xbox?
Yeah. Oh, people think of Mass Effect as an Xbox franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, Sony kind of struck pay dirt with their Destiny sort of DLC first, right? Like, as a guy who played Destiny on Xbox, yes, it exists.
You were literally the only person.
Such a snowflake. There were, like, the hand cannon, you know, that I wanted really bad was a Sony exclusive, and there was a strike that I wanted to play that was a Sony exclusive.
So dumb!
And now, as somebody who you know, kind of stopped playing Destiny, now I have a PS4, right? I'm watching a Destiny live stream, talking to Destin about it, who is Destiny super fan.
A professional Destiny figure. Player.
Professional Destiny.
That's what he does. That's what he gets paid for.
Basically.
Talking to him, he's like, hey, yeah, jump back in with us. And now I'm thinking, do I just switch back over to Sony? So, like, that kind of strategy for a game that's so heavily dependent on DLC, that kind of seems like Sony kind of knows what they're doing in that arena now. So, see Battlefront growing there, definitely.
All right, so we've talked about what we know will be there, what we think might be there, and what we know won't be there. Before we go, some, like, pie in the sky, what would be some, like, awesome, crazy surprise announcements?
A Perfect Dark game.
Yes.
Would be awesome.
So, like, you talk about what's Rare been working on.
Yeah.
Yeah, a Perfect Dark or a real Conker game.
A Conker game.
They've been doing this Conker in Project Spark.
Somebody's making a Battletoads game.
Battletoads?
Somebody's got to be.
Rare, hopefully... Rare is working on something real. Yeah.
I want Rare to go back to their heyday. I want a new Rare platformer, whether it's Battletoads or a new IP, or the ukulele.
Ukulele Kickstarter. Like, surely they see that, there's a
Playtonic,
a want for that sort of game. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what about a Gears 4? I'm talking about Gears of War Remaster. What about a proper Gears 4?
Yeah, I mean, so too early.
Sorry.
After you.
Yeah, thank you. I think, like Ryan just said, he cut in front of both of us. I think it's too early. I think the remaster is probably the consolation until it comes out next year, maybe the year after.
I think y'all are insane. I think Gears of War 4 is, whatever it is, the next Gears from Black Tusk has to be D3 in some capacity. Maybe it's not playable. Maybe it's not a release date. It'll be there.
They started development because they publicly said on Twitter that it started development as soon as they made that deal. Microsoft bought it from Epic February of last year. So it's been in development for, 15 months?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's not a lot of time.
But you know, like, man, if they have an environment that's on fire and a Marcus Fenix VO and it's just a logo,
we have a 15-month trailer for E3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, probably. I think we'll see something. I think we'll get... like something that indicates cast, characters, era, something.
Where do you think it's set, real quick? Because I'm curious what you think.
Something with Marcus. I don't know. Post Gears 3, something that incorporates the stuff that we saw in the episode that I forget the name, Aftermath, that was in Judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, this was set after Gears 3. It involved a lot of the characters from Judgment, and they're kind of... they were way, way in the future. They were old. They were working and talking to Marcus. Like, that's really interesting. What happened to those characters?
I think we find a way to get Dom back in there.
Yeah.
I think
another prequel?
Maybe.
That just didn't work for Judgment at all.
Like, that series is so splintered now, so I don't know.
Rise, Son of Rome, Xbox One launch title that some people are actually fans of.
Sure. I liked that game. I mean, it's got problems, but I thought it was really fun. It was very pretty.
I love the story. When you play through that game, the story is actually really compelling.
But
I don't know, man.
And like, pretty.
It was the very likelihood pretty. Of
that studio
getting another Rise game.
Yeah.
Very unlikely. I think that studio is... I think Crytek's in trouble. Like, you hear a lot of stuff about Amazon coming out of nowhere to save them, investing in a lot of CryEngine stuff. They've had this MOBA in development for years that... showed up at E3 last year and nobody heard anything about since. Like, they just stopped talking about it and nobody at Crytek will answer my emails about what's going on with it. I don't know. I don't know what that studio is up to.
Well, amidst all the chaos with that studio, word came out, whether don't know for sure if it's true, is that Crytek actually owns the IP, so Microsoft can't actually just make a sequel without them.
Sure.
Without their at least some sort of involvement. Yeah, I think Rise is probably not a thing that's going to be a franchise ever. We got one flawed but likable game.
Finally, State of Decay has been a big hit on both Xboxes.
Yeah. So originally, codenamed State of Decay was kind of split into two things, like Class 3, Class 4. Class 3 being the single-player standalone, kind of what we saw State of Decay become. Class 4 was always supposed to be this next step into a multiplayer, open world, like more MMO kind of idea. I would love to see that, and I think it's probably still too early for that, in my opinion. But
I think you're right.
So excited for that, and you know it's coming to Xbox One, right? Like it's just.
Sure.
I mean, we don't know that, but it's got to. It's got to be.
Yeah,
coming.
That game did so well.
Yeah.
On Xbox One, and like it sold really well on PC as well, obviously. But that game found a home. People, it resonated super well on Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They re-released it on Xbox One fairly recently. Read Ryan's review on IGN.com. And it's just it's the exact right game at the right time. Yep. Amid this DayZ craze, all these games that like Rust and H1Z1 and all these games drawing on the idea of interacting with other players and engaging with them in systemic ways is really really fascinating. And if you can capitalize on that on console using a franchise that people love, that's rich.
All right, that's a preview of what to expect from Microsoft at E3 this year. Microsoft conference will be the morning of the 15th, June 15th. You can watch it live on IGN. We'll have pre and post show coverage, and we'll have live coverage the entire week of E3. So
watch it on we got the Xbox One app, the live stream stuff. So big TV, just kick back.
Plan to hang out with us all week long. Before we go, we gotta play Video Game 20 Questions.
Oh, let's do it. I haven't done this yet.
Everyone know how this works?
I don't.
Let's do it.
You know how 20 questions work? Yeah. I am thinking of a game. You all have 20 questions to ask me to figure out what game it is. The questions just have to be yes or no questions.
Is this game on Xbox 360?
No.
That's all I got. Who's got questions? Who's got questions?
Well, we know it's not Limbo, so.
So this is a game that you're thinking of, just a game that is out? Or, okay, is that going to be.
Is this game
out? Is this game released?
Yes.
Is this game a console exclusive?
Meaning, is it only on
one console?
Can you rephrase your question?
Is this game also available on PC?
No. I mean, the simple answer is
Doug Stamen
broke the
game. It was never released on PC.
Is this a canceled game?
No.
Does it star a bald space marine?
No.
Is it an indie game?
Nope.
Is it a first-person shooter?
Nope.
Is it a platformer?
Yes.
Is it Voodoo Vince?
No. is this an original Xbox game?
Nope.
Okay. Is it Conquer Live and Reloaded?
Nope.
Stop.
You're just throwing away good questions, Ryan.
And I want to put, we've been doing this for a few weeks on GameScoop, and no one has ever lost. So if you guys lose, you'll be the first to ever lose.
Is this
questions.
A 2D game?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
We're making headway. So far, our information we know.
Can we recap?
Xbox One. Probably mm-hmm. Xbox One. 2D platformer.
I thought he said 360.
He said no.
No, he said
when
no
said
on 360.
Oh, okay.
He said no on the original Xbox, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just assuming this is an Xbox question. Is this an Xbox game?
Nope.
Damon!
You have 30 some years of video game history to single out.
All right, we have 2D platformer. Wait, we wasted so many questions to figure out. It's a 2D platformer, not on a Microsoft console. Or the PC, except for maybe ROMs. I don't know.
Anyway, it wasn't canceled.
Is it 2D or 3D? Did he say?
It is a 2D
It's a
platform.
2D game.
All right.
And it was on a console, not a PC.
How many do we have left?
7 questions left.
I kind of feel like maybe we should ask about the Disney angle.
The Disney angle?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Was it made in the 90s?
Let me just double check. It's like right on the cusp. It's like right on the cusp.
Okay. So we generally know the era.
Okay.
Does it star an iconic mascot?
Yes.
All right.
So far, so good. All right. Iconic mascots. Crash Bandicoot.
7-Up.
7-Up!
Well, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Mario.
Conker. Bubsy.
Yep.
Ratchet and Clank. Jack and Daxter.
Oh, my God.
But he did say 2D.
Okay. Yeah. The answer to your question, was it released in the 90s, is no.
Was it released in the 2000s?
No.
Okay, so it was an 80s.
So it's,
game.
It's the 80s.
It's an 80s 2D platformer.
It's late 80s because he already said it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Late 80s 2D platformer.
So it was
with that mascot.
It was original NES.
It could also be Bonk's Adventure too.
Bonk could be Super Mario.
What if
I'm
going to
give you an extra question.
What if it is just Mario?
Is Mario in this game?
Yes, and that's a free one because it's really on the cusp of 80s and 90s. I don't know.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay. So you're at 16.
So Mario's in the game. It's a 2D platformer released on the cusp of the 80s and 90s.
Wouldn't that
Mario 2?
Yeah, that would.
Mario 2.
88 because I know that for a fact.
When was the wizard?
That's Mario 3, but that was.
Yeah.
Was that 89 or 90?
Okay, I think of one trait that.
How many do we have left?
Four questions left.
Think of one trait that differentiates 3 from 2.
Multiple playable characters. Yeah, was Peach playable would be if we wanted to.
Or you could just, at that point, you just ask, is it Mario 2?
Is it Super Mario Brothers 2?
No.
Is it Super Mario Brothers 3?
Yes!
Yeah! Literally the easiest question in the world. I'm thinking of a game. Oh, what could it be? We immediately are like, is it a Halo game?
One of the most legendary games ever.
Is it Azeric?
No, so it was like, it was released 1990, but I think it was in arcades before then, yeah. So that's why I was a little confused.
I assumed that this would be a themed question.
We should have just asked if there was a
warm
whistle.
I don't want to make it too easy. But you guys got it.
Yeah,
so
we did.
That means IGN has a perfect win record for a video game 20 questions.
Barely.
That would have been embarrassing.
If we didn't
get Super Mario Bros. 3, that's really embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah.
Would have been really embarrassing because it would have been like, look at those Xbox idiots.
No, you guys
We got there.
By the way, my favorite Mario ever.
Yeah,
Mario
3. I think
it's really good. It is the best.
64 was good, but yeah, absolutely.
I like
3.
I like most of them. Most of them are all really, really good.
Name a bad Super Mario game.
Not a mainline one.
No.
Nope. Wrong. Good game. Great game.
Love that game.
Whoa, which one?
He said two.
You don't think it's good?
You don't want to throw two bad?
All right. Well, not bad. Definitely on the lower end of the Mario scale.
Even on the low end, is still better than 90% of other
most
games.
Other platformers.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, things were a little easier to appreciate back then.
Well, I mean, too.
You fought Wart. That's amazing.
It's got Birdo in it.
It's got Birdo. I will admit.
You threw beets at people.
Beets,
like the vegetable.
I know. And that's like the one thing I really remember about too is the vegetable.
B-E-E-T.
Not like Dre.
Yeah, not beets by Dr. Dre.
Nope.
No, that's scale bound.
Oh yeah.
All right, that's our show. Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Mitch. Thank you, Brandon.
Yep.
My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.